was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is King at Jeromney. He is Ski at TSB Ski. Go ahead and tweet at one of us, I mean, while you can. I'm out here hanging out on Threads now, so I don't know. Are people still on Twitter? Is that still a thing? Prayers to you guys. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I wish you all the best. You peasants still roaming Twitter, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, you and Zuck over there just threading it up.
For real, the only reason I signed up for an account is because it's through Instagram, and Instagram's basically the only social media I use. And they made it really easy. Like, basically, you just click a button, and it's like, oh, yeah, do you want to just move everything over from this account to this one? Okay, cool. Do you want to follow all the same people? Yeah, all right, cool. Do you want them to follow you, too? All right, sweet. We'll ask them if they sign up.
Then what's the point if it's essentially just Instagram?
Oh, no, it's Twitter. It's a Twitter replacement. That's what they're trying to do.
So it's racist. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that. I don't think that part's there yet.
It's there. I'm
it
sure,
will but. Be.
I mean,
it will.
Literally, be. You were just a white guy with a hood over your head. So yes, it'll be there soon.
I don't understand why you're putting me into a corner. Like, why are you being racist against white?
I
guys
just thought you were really leaning into the Threads aesthetic.
Man, you cannot win on social media nowadays.
You cannot.
It's rough.
No.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just not be on it. I don't know.
It's better for our mental health to never be on it.
Sure is. Sure is.
He has the best grasp on social media, where he lets his girlfriend and his mom post pictures of him, and every once in a while he'll hop on Twitter and be like, "The Red Sox smell like farts." And that's it.
My mom has Facebook covered because she's old. And my girlfriend has Twitter covered, so I don't need to do anything ever. Unless if someone asks me, then I respond and will engage. But yeah, I don't.
The only time you do anything on Twitter is like when I ask you to retweet something. That's like all you do.
Pretty much.
Or if somebody comments on a movie we watched, that's it.
That'll get me engagement for sure. If you bring up a movie take for sure.
Here's my question for you, because you have social media accounts on all of the things. Do you actually go on them? Are you just like lurking?
I don't have Instagram.
I'm pretty sure you do.
I don't think I do. I don't have a sign in anymore. I did get one of those Blue Sky accounts, so I did sign up for that just in case Twitter eventually gets nuked into oblivion.
Now, that was the first one, right? That was the first big like Twitter replacement, right? That was like a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I think it's been going for a bit. Yeah, but it's still. I'm pretty sure it's still by like invite only. So it.
And that's the one where you send out skeets, not tweets. You send out
skeets.
It's perfect. Yes, I believe they call them skeets.
It's made for you, man. So it's invitation. It's like the original Facebook. You have to like have a university email to be able to be on it.
It's something
you gotta bend over to the front and touch your toes.
Yep.
I think that was in Social Network.
Yeah, it was. But I think it's someone that has a Blue Sky account gets like two codes a week or something like that to give to other people. So it's
that's very exclusive.
And what can I say?
That in and of itself is attractive to me.
I know, you and your 1% ass over there.
Exactly,
just...
exactly. I am part of the 1%. I want to be on Blue Sky. Ski, can I get an invitation? Sounds perfect. Sounds perfect. Let's see. Braga on Threads, King on Eugene Reddit, Ski what you on. Ski's on Blue Sky.
I'd be on Nextdoor.
That's Booble in the chat. You're definitely a Nextdoor guy for sure.
I would be. That'd be, because that seems the most entertaining of them all.
Oh, man. All right. By the way, the movie this week on Sunday, it's still Patriotic Movie Month. It is Rocky IV. If you ever wanted to watch a movie where one guy single-handedly fixes United States and Russia relations, Rocky IV is your picture.
If I can change.
You can change. We all can change.
I see all you with an attitude about me when I got here. If I can change.
And who would have thought I would not have been the one to pick this movie,
Amazing.
Too?
Amazing. I know.
Well, yeah. You know, it just boils down to that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm...
You're so close.
Saddled with debt and living less racist.
Crippling debt and...
Yeah.
I mean, we're fine. You know, we're white,
shining sea.
We're white males. Like, everything's built for us. We're good. I just sipped some champagne. Excuse me. So, where should we start with sports? Do we want to start with sports? Do you guys watch the Home Run Derby?
No.
Okay.
I watched some of it. Couple matchups, but it's too fucking long.
I watched highlights. I nailed it. Yeah. Is it too long? Because it's
like 2.5 hours long.
Can it ever be too long?
I don't know. Some say there is a length that hits and it's too long. So yes.
I'm just asking. Streets are asking.
Yeah. Did you pull that out of the issue box? Oh, we do have an issue box. Are there any issues in the issue box?
We'll find out.
Stay tuned. Tell your friends. No, but like, because there's an argument that it is the best all-star festivity.
It definitely is. They've just expanded. They've gone overboard with it now. Because now, you know, every batter gets 2 minutes, right? And then it was like, all right, if you hit two home runs over, you know, 440 or 460, whatever the fuck it is, you get 30 extra seconds. And now they're just like, you get 30, everyone just gets 30 extra seconds anyway. So why not just make it 2.5 minutes long of hitting instead of just giving everyone bonus 30 seconds on top of potentially another bonus 30 seconds?
Do they get bonus time for hitting it in, like, the second deck or something like that? Is that a thing? Like, what do they get?
It's only distance. Just distance.
Distance, okay.
Yeah. But you got to get two balls over a certain distance to get the...
That's like a made-up number two, though, you know?
Oh.
Like the like exit velocity and where a ball lands being...
Launch angle.
Being a specific foot distance from where he hit it from is completely made up. Like,
It's all math.
Sure.
Launch angle multiplied by exit velocity... Divided by how fast pitch is coming in, I get you a distance somehow.
Can we just...
Yes, please. Oh,
this is great. Talks about, like, exit velo and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw something online today where they were like, oh, my God, like, the stat nerds are going to make player X, Y, and Z sound super lame. And swing graphs on Twitter, which has, you know, a big following, an enormous following. Followed that up by going, Ellie De La Cruz is an exciting player, but he has a very big problem. His attack angle is the second lowest in MLB, only behind Eric Hosmer. This is costing him a whopping 81 points of lowercase XW capital OBA lowercase CON. So unfortunate, because with his above average capital letters VWA, he could easily be one of the top quartile hitters today.
Quartile?
Quartile.
You know, you had me until quartile. I knew every single one of those acronyms, but quartile, you lost me.
Quartile is a great fucking word, by the way.
Man, that's a different language.
Lowercase XW capital OBA lowercase CON. Baseball nerds, get the fuck out of here. Get out. Leave my life. forever.
And
what? How do you even say that?
Do you know
it's not even a sexual act?
Oh, he's 81 points below Exku Obacomb. Like what? Obacomb? Like how do you say that? Asa Obako? It's so weird.
So say the acronym again.
It is lowercase.
Yeah.
XW, capital letters, OBA, lowercase CON. Kasa Oba!
That's algebra, my guy. I'm out. And for that reason, I'm out. Ski, do you know what that is, Ski? You heard it.
No, I assume it's something of exit velocity to like average extra base hit, shit OBA, like that. The contact. I don't know. It's some bullshit.
OBA being capitalized has to mean something. That's
no, but it's and the problem with baseball is now there's so many of these nerds that are like in big positions for teams that will like examine.
Excuse me. Yeah. I think you'll find the exit velocity on the XYZ.
Obi-Wan. Don't mind me.
Booble says, if you're worse than Eric Hosmer at anything in 2023, can you be a good player?
No.
I guess he's terrible.
Yeah, but to King's point there, yes, Eric Hosmer is terrible. I will say that. That's a fact.
Is he a Cub?
I mean, no, where he was.
Is
I mean, he was
alive?
On
alive.
He's alive for sure. And he's catching.
He might be a Cub.
He might be, but Ellie De La Cruz, I'm pretty sure has like four of the top five hardest hit baseballs in the major leagues this year, and he's only been up for like a month.
Eric Hosmer is a free agent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
Sorry.
Like I said, it's these dumb nerd stats where someone's going to be like, oh, Elliot De La Cruz isn't worth, you know, signing a big contract to for your team because of this stupid stat. And that's what's brought in. I fucking blame you and I blame fucking Billy Bean. They've ruined fucking baseball. You and your fucking A's. They just should just get rid of the team instead of moving to Vegas because they have ruined baseball with these stupid sabermetric bullshit stats.
I blame Jonah Hill.
A lot of people are blaming Jonah Hill the last week or so. So,
ooh, what did he do? Oh, that's right. That's right. See,
those are just his boundaries, bro.
This right here, this is Ski getting news from his girlfriend from Twitter. That is exactly what just happened.
No, see, this is what happens when you just kind of jump on Twitter a couple times a day just to see what the current news in the world is about because I'm not reading a newspaper or watching the news, so I got to get it somehow.
No, I call bullshit. This is Ski sitting next to his girlfriend on the couch while she is on Twitter, and she goes, wow, look at this bullshit about Jonah Hill. And Ski's like, oh, that's very interesting.
Sure, I don't agree with him whatsoever.
Then he regurgitates it on the podcast.
Yep.
See, nailed it.
No, but to the home run derby.
So the derby, yeah, I was going to say, like, so you saw highlights at least.
Is it a derby or a derby?
Definitely a derby.
We're fucking Americans here. It's a fucking derby.
I'm just checking.
Yes, all right.
Harry Kane was on Hot Ones this week. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, wait, is this barbecue? And the guy's like, well, I mean, like, it's red sauce, maybe. Like, oh, we don't have a lot of flavor.
Everything had like a barbecue taste.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Brits have something just called fucking brown sauce. So anything not just brown sauce is I'm just thrown into barbecue sauce.
Have you seen what a traditional English breakfast is?
Yes, it's disgusting.
Seriously. Like, amazing.
It's like a cold slice of ham, some like brown sugared beans.
No, and
just,
like a tomato.
It gets worse from there.
Like just
and a tomato.
A cold and tomato. Like.
Oh, you're missing some good. It's got mushrooms.
Mushroom. Oh, well,
but see, they have weird beans. They like it's like a ketchup based bean instead of like that brown, like our good brown sugary beans. Then they have bangers. Gotta have
and
some
mash.
Bangers in there. And blood blood sausages.
The blood sausage is the just
I think that has to be in there, and then some fried eggs.
I'm really curious if that's good though.
No,
the blood sausages.
No. Blood sausages. No. Yes.
No, we can't.
I've had it from like in Filipino food, their blood sausage. I have never had British ones, but
well, I will trust the people with melanin making it more than the
Yes. Fair enough, yes.
That's, and like just to like expound on this point, like when people want to travel internationally and they want to go to like England, I'm like, why? The weather stinks, the food is fucking atrocious.
And you gotta watch fish and chips.
It's gross. Ugh. That whole thing, that whole traveling thing, I don't understand it, man.
I definitely want to go there, but I see your point too, because what do they have food wise that they offer? So you already said it, like fish and chips is their thing, and then we live
next to the ocean. We
and then
get
they have
fish
lager,
chips.
Like lager is their thing.
Like, more lager,
gross,
more lager,
gross,
or room temp lager,
gross. No, thank you. No,
give me a pint of bitter, mate. Fucking pint of bitter.
Yeah, a pint of bitter. Yeah, no thanks.
Well,
no thanks.
Well, the crazy thing is, you can also take a train under the canal there, and you could be in France, in Spain, in like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Why would you go there?
Completely superior countries.
Yes. Why would you go there?
Without
soccer's,
question.
Soccer's everywhere. That you're just gonna have to deal with that bullshit. But at least go have some warm weather and good food.
You cross the channel or whatever that is. You're every single country on the other side of that's better.
Way better.
And by the way, I say this as somebody who like would like to go to London one day just to visit it. I there are places on the other side of that water that they're like five or six places I want to go first. Anyway,
yeah, so, every year, pretty much.
So the Derby.
Derby.
So I watched the first rounds. So the four matchups, you know, entertaining, you know, J-Rod hit a shit ton of bombs. Mookie Betts, for some reason, was in it weighing like 120 pounds. I could barely hit one out.
Specifically, J-Rod hit 41.
Yeah. I love your guy. He hit a few. Like 41. Yeah, like a record. The record.
Yeah. By a lot.
Yeah. 2001 Mariners there. They'll break records and then just get trounced in the second round.
Which is exactly what happened. But to your point about Mookie, too, like opposite end of the spectrum, dude hits 11. Like, why was he there?
Because he's like tied for third in the bigs and bombs.
He's a big name, but yeah, he's not a home run derby contest guy.
Like Adley Rutschman, those kind of guys are the perfect guys for the derby. Younger guys trying to make a bigger name themselves. Hitting bombs from both sides of the plate in the Derby. I mean, that's cool.
His gimmick work was phenomenal. Like having his dad pitching to him, switching sides like in the middle of the round. Fantastic. And then
he
lost anyways.
Yeah. How many guys do you think in the next like week or so are going to adjust mid-coitus and be like, pulling an Adley Rutschman. Here's the Rutschman, baby. Pull out.
They go, get to
it's
get
the same
the other
thing,
lane.
But it's just a little different angle. The swing angle's a little different.
And she's just laying there like, that's exactly the same. You just stopped. For some reason, you stopped and danced. Nothing has changed.
It's got different launch angles from the right and the left side.
Exactly.
So maybe
that velo is different from the left.
Yeah, exactly. Is that an enter velocity? Is that what that is?
Oh.
It's definitely on exit.
Jesus Christ. Oh, no, man.
But again, it's 2.5 hours long.
Also, babe, who the fuck is Adley Rutschman?
Well,
why did you stop, mention some random guy's name, and then start again?
Got some good lettuce going. He's a, I like that, even though he's a fucking beaver guy. Respect him, he's a good player.
He is. And again, really cool, because if, you know, he hit a lot of home runs in that round, too.
He kind of feels like Jeremy Burnett's. He was swinging out of his shoes every pitch, which is obviously the coolest way to hit a bomb. Swing as hard as you can.
It was cool watching Julio get in his rhythm because it was so fast, man. Like, it's like swing, step back, swing, and everything was a home run, man.
So, because like I said, I didn't really watch it. I actually didn't watch any highlights beyond like a 2-minute SportsCenter clip. But because everything is so like intertwined now, when someone hit a big bomb, who was announcing it? Do you know?
Like Carl Ravitch?
In Perez.
Yeah.
It was Ravi and Perez. Did one of them go back? Like, oh, it's an Oppenheimer.
No.
Like,
you know what?
And then they show the Oppenheimer, like, you know.
This was not sponsored.
It was not sponsored. Okay. Just asking, because everything is marketing within marketing.
Again, I only watched highlights, and I can say that Carl Ravitch did the he hit that one to Olympia way too many times.
Oh, yes,
got it. No, that's the Anacortes.
My guy, pick a different line. He did mix up.
Yeah, they were doing.
He mixed up the cities too. He's like, he hit that one to Tacoma. All right,
we got it.
Just copy Berman. Just say back over and over again.
No, that's the worst. No, but so since you guys did not actually watch it, you missed one of the best things I've seen in sports in a long time. So Vladdy Jr. was a part of it, right? His teammate Bo Bichette was there as well. You know, hanging out, you know, on the apron with all the other guys do. And they gave him a microphone and was trying to have him be like an on-field kind of, you know, player reporter for a bit. He doesn't speak Spanish, and almost everyone there speaks Spanish. So it got real awkward where he just, like, Perez would have to, like, translate what that person's actually saying because he has no clue what people are saying. There were three non-Spanish speaking guys in the Derby, 3 of 8. So, and you get the whitest guy ever to. You should might as well have had Ohtani be out there with it.
Yeah,
same level of non-understanding.
That was like a really good idea they had on paper going into it, but at some point you got to realize there's only 3 English speaking people there, and you got to pull an audible, like do literally anything else. That's amazing. Or go the other way. Just give it to a Spanish speaking dude and just have him interview everybody, and be like, yeah, you know what? Screw it. This is Spanish language now. Deal with it. And then Perez could like translate whatever he felt like translating on the actual podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it was rough to watch. It's like, why are you here, fucking long hair white guy? You offer nothing. He's not even entertaining when he talks. Yeah. So you guys missed that. That was the highlight of the Derby for me.
Was that like one of the 2 hours?
2.5 hours.
Him fumbling through that. That is too long. I don't think I'd sit through that. I think I did it right. Just watching some YouTube highlights. That was like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
I recorded it and saw that it was 2 hours and 37 minutes and went on to YouTube, and then I really didn't get to YouTube to watch it.
If we're not watching Saving Private Ryan, we're not watching the full Home Run Derby.
Well, and of course, you know, I'm sure those highlights, I hope you guys saw that kid just get absolutely murdered in the outfield.
Murdered. Yeah, I did see that, yes.
I didn't see that.
I would love to know the release those kids' parents have to sign.
Oh, yeah, it has
where they're
to
like,
be the most.
You're going to have, like, facial and oral surgery, but whatever. You're on ESPN.
It has to be the most airtight fucking sign contracts.
They hit the ball so hard. Those guys, that shit eats up professionals sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, once a night, a professional gets eaten up on one of those balls. No way, little 11-year-old Billy from, you know, just.
These are like the Boys and Girls Club of Seattle out there.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, but so one kid might be dead. There was another kid trying to rob bomb like every time someone hit it close, which I respected.
I'm trying to find a video. How did the kid get hit? Was it just like a ball hitting him or
a
collision?
Fucking a liner that hits right off like the top of his head. He just whiffs on.
He had flips on?
He whiffed on it. He stuck his glove up, didn't touch it, hits him in that fucking head.
That's amazing. I thought you said he had like the flip-on sunglasses on, and he got hit in the head and they just flew into the air.
All right, guys, it's transition time.
Ready for the issue box. Let's go.
Ready for the issue box.
All right, what are we going to solve?
How does systemic racism, the solution, always come?
Again.
Jesus Christ.
We did that. Not only have we done that already on the podcast, we did it earlier in this podcast.
Well, oh my God, this one isn't solving racism. Who do you pick? The Renaissance Tour or the Eras Tour? It's just on the list, baby.
I don't know what that is.
What's the second tour?
Eras Tour? That is Taylor Swift.
Oh, all right.
So Beyonce versus Taylor Swift concurrent tours.
Mm-hmm.
I will be going Taylor Swift.
Racist.
Is Jay-Z a part of Beyonce's tour?
Does it matter at this point?
If you say yes, then I'm not picking her. So.
Well, he's not.
All right, then I'll take Beyonce.
Oh, you're wrong.
You're wrong. You're very wrong.
Jay-Z is not there. I will get. I'm in
count that one for the white people. The Eras Tour.
Sorry, man.
Not solving systemic racism on that one.
Did we not just do that? No?
No, because T-Sizzle is going to beat Beyonce leaps and bounds.
I look at that as equal opportunity. I mean...
Well, sure. Okay. Well, I mean, the Supreme Court kind of does not agree with that, so...
I mean, I did see on Twitter, one of my few times on Twitter, that apparently Taylor Swift is a better dancer than Michael Jackson, so I guess it makes sense that tour would be better.
You know what? You know what? Our list today is overrated baseball players. Let's say it. Overrated dancer, Michael Jackson. The guy had two dance moves.
And he cheated on one of them.
That's right. The moonwalk, and then he had the leg kick, and then he grabbed his crotch. Those aren't dance moves. I can do that right now. I can do two of those right now, sitting down.
I'd love to see you do the moonwalk.
No, that's the one I can't do.
Very convenient.
I'll do the leg kick and grab my crotch during this podcast the whole time, man.
Did Michael Jackson steal the leg kick from Elvis? People are asking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Watch out now. Yeah.
Speaking of solving systemic racism.
Elvis, I mean, that's...
Oh, man.
Boy, that man had original music.
Uh-huh. Like, one of those had to be original. I'm pretty sure Tom Hanks wrote one of the songs, right? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched that movie?
No.
I just love that. I love how in the trailer... The trailer is like 2 minutes long, and 47 seconds of it is him listening to a song and someone going, "He's white." And then he's like, it just, the camera pans on him. "He's white." That's the whole trailer.
I mean, that sums up Elvis pretty good.
Oh, it totally does. Yes.
That's pretty much it.
He's white.
It's pretty much, do you want like blues music and dancing, but not from black people? Here's your guy, Elvis Presley, right here. There you go.
He's what?
Like the Holy Grail back then.
He's what?
He's what?
Okay, we're done with Derby. Let's see, we talked about Harry Kane on Hot Ones.
We got 28 minutes left.
Yep. The Jets, they're on Hard Knocks.
Don't care.
Are we going to watch it?
Nope.
I will. I want to see Aaron talk about his COVID toe. I want to see him be antisocial with everybody who tries to talk to him.
Who's their coach? Sala?
Yeah, Robert Sala.
Is he entertaining? Is he an entertaining person?
Not really.
No, he's one of those like on the field jump around and yell guys, but in an interview he's boring as shit.
Yeah, see then to me, the coaches make the Hard Knock. Like Dan Campbell last year is an entertaining guy to see.
Why are they not
Rex Ryan?
Why are they not having the Dolphins on?
Because they didn't want it.
All I want to watch is they were too good.
Yeah,
they were too good.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. All I want to watch is McDaniel talk. Period. Like period.
Have you guys watched The Quarterback on Netflix at all?
I haven't started yet.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Is it beating off to Mahomes there?
No. I'm only three episodes in. Cousins is lame. Oh. Mahomes might be a better shit talker than a thrower of the football.
Love it.
That guy loves to look at defensive players and call them stupid motherfuckers.
Love it.
And be like, fuck you, I'm here, I'm him, that's what I do, blah, blah, blah. And I think Mariota is going to admit that he quit on the Falcons. I think. I could be wrong. I think he's going to admit that.
Like it's leading to that?
I kind of think so. I kind of get the feeling.
How many episodes?
But even though I say like Kirk Cousins is boring.
Eight, I think.
It's good so far. Like I said, I've only watched three, but it is pretty good so far. Well, even Kirk Cousins is like, it's weird to be like, oh my God, that guy's like made $700 million in his life. Look how cool his house is with secret rooms that are full of jerseys and blah, 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 blah.
I'm going to pull this just off the top of my dome. I wouldn't be surprised if Kirk Cousins is one of the top three all-time paid football players.
Would not shock.
He's got just absurd contracts for being.
Well, yeah, because he just did like. That. Yeah, he was always like, what do they call it? Franchise tag for like three straight years. Big Minnesota contract.
Yep. Yeah. Look that up. But yeah. See, but it I think it's a great concept to a show. And they got, you know, the younger, kind of, like I said, shit talking Mahomes, the kind of quiet guy trying to still stay in the league in Mariota, and then the white quarterback, nerd, you know, religious-y quarterback. They kind of check all the boxes off there.
Yes. You can already see the formula. So, like, there's going to be a season two, and it'll kind of be the same formula. Like,
yeah, who would... All right, let's do it right
Josh
now.
Josh Allen, Derek Carr, and Jameis Winston type thing.
Jameis Winston? I like how that's the... Guy trying to hit it. That guy trying to stay. Well, Derek Carr could be all three almost at the same time.
All right, I found it. Kirk Cousins is currently 11th all time. He is right in front of Alex Smith, the 12th highest paid NFL player of all time. And then it goes. I'll run down the top 10 real quick. So 10 is Russell Wilson. 9, Philip Rivers. 8, Peyton Manning. 7, Eli Manning by like 4 million. 6, Ben Roethlisberger. 5, Matt Ryan. 4, four Drew Brees. 3, Matt Stafford. 2, Aaron Rodgers. 1, Tom Brady. Yep. 23 seasons. I mean, makes sense.
Yeah. I'm sure Rivers needs that money because I saw he's got his 10th kid on the way. So
80 children. Yeah.
Needed to make all that money.
Erica, saw someone had their 10th child today. How do you feel about that?
Why the fuck would you want that many children?
Well, they're rich, but...
And Jesus. Yeah. I think Jesus wants them to have that many kids.
No.
What if Jesus told you to have a 10th kid? Oh, she doesn't believe in Jesus.
Not a big God household. Hmm.
Apparently not.
How are you going to solve all those issues without God in your house?
True. True.
Yeah. You ever think of that? Apparently not.
Native American. I believe in Mother Earth.
Well, it's like that song lyric, you know, it's like, I got issues, you got them too. Yeah. Give them all to me and I'll give mine to you. So I just pass off all the issues onto you. you can take them all.
Makes sense. Yeah. Let's see. I was going to talk about Josh Jacobs. I don't think I actually care, though.
Who?
The running back for the Raiders. Yeah, I don't really care. I changed my mind. Okay, maybe I didn't.
Speaking of the Raiders, I was just down in Vegas, and it is so fucking funny to see all the casinos and everything be like, this is Raider country, our town, the silver and black. And I'm like, you realize you're like, the sixth town they've played in 30 years. I mean, they bounce back and forth, so that does, it's kind of cheating. It's three, but like, oh yeah, oh yeah, you're Raider country. Okay, all right, okay, you're not
the worst.
Like, are there like banners and stuff like
all the casinos?
Every
casino within like 3 miles of Allegiant has, I'm not saying it's draped completely in Raiders gear, but everything between Allegiant and T-Mobile has some sort of Raider thing on the outside and some on the inside. Like, welcome to Raider country. This is our town, silver and black.
No Golden Knight stuff?
Right? No. Well, and can I just say something? T-Mobile Arena, where the Golden Knights play, it's like 5 years old, 6 years old. That is one of the ugliest buildings I've ever seen. It is gross. And I know they're going for like the Golden, you know, Knight thing and gaudy Vegas. It is ugly. The gold is atrocious. And just speaking about the Knights, I went to a couple gift shops because they had, you know, because they won the Stanley Cup, and they had the jerseys out with the Stanley Cup or Stanley Cup champion patch on it. The gold, it's itchy. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a, I don't even know, but it's not comfortable. Like, there's no way you could wear that without a shirt underneath it. It is the grossest aesthetic, from the arena to the sweaters, as they say in the business. Just gross. Just nasty.
So you're telling me one of the grossest cities in the middle of a desert has a hockey team that is the grossest hockey team?
Just nasty. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm going to feel it. The first time, and then so I had to feel it every time I went by to a shop. It's like, yeah. They're all the same. It's not like one is the cheap version. They're just all itchy and ugly as fuck. Wow.
I can see that.
Weird, they're claiming Raiders so hard. I guess it makes sense, though.
No, but like the one of the weird. So I was walking through Mandalay Bay, and that's where the Aces play.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go past where their arena is. It's, you know, way far to the left. And it just has this sign that it's an underground tunnel to get to Allegiant Stadium. And I'm like, that is still like 2 miles away. Like, what in the fuck?
Is that Elon's tunnel?
No, it's just a walking tunnel. It's just a walking tunnel. And maybe there is some sort of, I don't know. But it just said like tunnel to Allegiant Stadium. And you look down it and it very much looks like a cavernous walking stadium, like tunnel. It's just that it was awful.
That sounds like literally hell on earth.
But you can't. That's a weird thing about Allegiant Stadium is because I was kind of looking. I don't know how you get there unless you take obviously like an Uber or a shuttle, but like foot traffic. I think you just kind of have to go underneath like the city and just walk for 45 minutes.
Because
it's totally like not, it's on the wrong side of the strip and there's just, you know, the freeway and the strip, and it's just, it's weird. It's weird. And like T-Mobile right there. It is right there. But yeah, Allegiant is very out of the way for looking close.
Like underground 2 mile walking tunnel, and it's got to be like 300 degrees in there.
Yeah, nothing could go wrong in those tunnels.
Honestly,
game, right?
Like in Vegas, that sounds like the worst idea ever.
Well, that was the fun, like, because you're talking like 300 degrees. That was a funny thing about Vegas is you would walk, you could be in the same casino and you could be walking for 5 minutes and it's AC'd up. And then you just walk into an area where they vault the ceilings and it's just windows, you know, 100 miles up. And all of a sudden it is 120 degrees of sun just brushing you.
You're baking.
And then you walk for 2 minutes and then you're in the AC again. But the fact that Vegas pulled that whole thing off, just being Vegas, is insane.
Yeah, it is wild. The underrated part about Vegas, maybe not underrated, under talked about part about Vegas, is the amount of walking you do.
Oh, it is such a non-walkable town. And like when I booked our hotel, I knew the wedding, you know, long story short, I went to a wedding in Vegas this weekend. I knew the wedding venue
can we
was
say whose it was?
If you want to.
Big ups to Gummy. That's
yeah,
rad.
Big ups to Sean. Yeah. Absolutely. Congrats to Sean and April. Let's go.
Hell yeah.
I knew the wedding venue was like 8 miles away. I thought the Friday night bottle service bar was like the south end of the strip. So I was like, okay, we'll look there. And I was wrong. It was on Fremont Street and way far away from where we stayed. And oops, my bad. And like the funny thing, I don't want to turn this into like a tourism bureau thing, but the funniest thing about Vegas is liquor stores and dispensaries have to be like a mile and a quarter off the strip. They cannot be any closer. And like I said, the roads can make a mile and a quarter be 3 miles each direction. So one night I was like, fuck, we keep going down to the market and here's, you know, in the casino, and here's the grift. You buy two beers. It could be a 12 ounce seltzer or a 20 ounce, you know, 9.5 IPA. And if you buy the two drinks, you get a free shot. That's the gimmick. And it's like $24 to do that. Or I was like, I'm just going to go to a liquor store. And I Google it, you know, Lyft. And they know what you're doing, so they search charge you. It's like $75 to go round. And I was like, and I just know that the liquor at the liquor store is going to be, you know, for like a fifth of Tito's might be like $70 as well. So really want to?
Yo, the who surcharges you? The Uber driver?
Lyft. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yo, that's because they know what you're doing. Because they know what you're doing.
That's a grift, yo. That's
100%.
That's collusion.
It was more expensive than going to the airport, going to Fremont Street, going to the MGM. Like it was that. Both times I looked, once was a dispensary and once was a liquor store, and it was so much more expensive. And I was like, well, I'm not going to spend this. I will just miserably walk down to the market and buy too expensive.
Why don't you just fool them and say like, oh, I'm going to a restaurant that's, you know,
they still do it anyway. If you're in that strip, because they put them all in a strip mall. And so... Yeah, and the funniest thing is the first night we're there, we're going down to Fremont Street for an open bottle thing, a bottle service thing, and holy shit, that is an expensive endeavor. Holy hell. But we look up, you know, dispensary, and we go in, and there's all these levels of security. It is not like one in Oregon, California, or Washington, where it's like, hey, man, indica or sativa. It's like gun in your face. What the fuck do you want? Go through these certain levels. And so we go in and be like, well, okay, you can buy one pen for $50 or two for $60. And I'm like, well, we can't get the pens on the plane because that is technically illegal. So we'll just do one for $50, even though obviously two for $60 is a much better. Get it. Look at it. Don't really realize it that night, but the next day we look at it and we're like, this pen doesn't have like the unscrapable or any sort of marking that it's marijuana. It could just be tobacco.
Right.
And they didn't tell us that. And so I was like, fuck it. Let's take it on the plane on the way back. Let's just see. And of course they didn't fucking care.
No.
Because the Oregon ones are like, this is marijuana, drugs, TSA, look at this. And the ones in Vegas are just like, oh, it's just a pen. Fuckers. Assholes.
Yeah, but like
always a scheme out there.
Always.
Yeah, but like
fun city though. Like I had a blast.
You're doing a public service with that right now though.
No, but seriously, yeah. If you go to a dispensary in Vegas, you can take it on the plane back because they intentionally, from what I've learned, do not mark that it is a drug. It could just be tobacco or nicotine.
Speaking of Vegas public service, Booble in the chat, rookies. Period. Gotta buy your liquor at Walgreens on the strip.
Didn't see it.
The Walgreens?
Nope.
Damn shame.
Saw the orb though. That thing's wild.
Oh, you saw that creepy orb.
The sphere is pretty weird.
Please do tell me about the orb. Well, it was kind of lame.
So
here's my question, because I've seen a bunch of like random clips online. That's what all of us have seen. How often does it actually change?
It was always NBA Summer League when I was there. There was an eyeball, but once it was just either a basketball or Welcome to Vegas. This is the Summer League. But then there was kind of a twitching like Elon Flux eye once.
Yeah.
But like it's cool.
Is it cool? Yeah, okay.
I mean it's all right. Yeah. But you know, if I had gone there 4 weeks from now as opposed to the first week the orb was a thing, I probably wouldn't have cared. Type, you know, whatever.
I imagine like staying in a hotel right next to it, it gets really old really quick.
Well, it's really fun. I'm trying to remember what the hotels are that are next to it, but it's pretty.
It's like removed a little.
Yeah, it's removed a little.
Right.
But my Las Vegas thing is, and I know I can read a map. I know geography, LA to Las Vegas. And I know the Lakers have played a lot of like exhibition games in Las Vegas. It wasn't even just that the Summer League started. An NBA con was there.
There's an NBA con as well?
Yes, it was the first year of NBA con. That's where Adam Silver announced the tournament thing in Mandalay. Yeah. And Las Vegas, get over Kobe, man. Like, he didn't play there. Every art exhibit you would go by, everything was Kobe. All these jerseys you would see, and it's more, no shit, because the NBA Summer League and NBA con was there. Kobe. Kobe didn't play in Las Vegas. He played in Los Angeles. You don't have a team. Rest in peace. Legend. Don't get me wrong, but it was a little weird. It's like every art exhibit is Kobe or has a Kobe thing in there.
Yeah, we're not beyond the Kobe exploitation period yet. Because he's about to be on the cover of 2K again. Like there,
which is fine.
By the way, because his wife and kids are getting all of the money from all of this,
which is so great.
More power to them. Absolutely.
I don't want to make what I just said an anti-Kobe thing. Sucked. That was terrible.
No, that's against the pandemic. It's against Vegas.
Bizarre. I was just like, why? I'm in an aquarium. Why is everyone wearing some sort of a Kobe jersey? Like, every young person wearing a Kobe jersey. Like, some of you, I'm like, you never saw him play.
You're not old enough. Yeah.
Yeah. You never saw him play in an 8 jersey. I know that. You weren't born when he played in the 8 jersey.
All right, let's see. We're at like 45 minutes now. Do we want to talk about Pat Fitzgerald at all in Northwestern?
I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
Times have changed. You can't do hazing. Scraping your dick on another guy is weird. It was always weird. It's been unacceptable in sports for 15 years now, 10 plus. Not 20, but
really long time.
At least 10 plus. You can't do that.
It is kind of crazy that is still a thing. Or was still a thing, you know? Like because I think most people thought that was removed from sports, that kind of shit. Just because like a lot of us are old enough now where we have kids,
and the culture is
just so much different. Yeah, Erica. Okay, go ahead.
Is a senior football player scraping his dick across a freshman football player because he didn't run fast or showed up late to weightlifting acceptable?
Never has.
Would you like to see it though?
No.
Okay. I thought I had her on the second one.
Yeah, I almost had her. I almost got her.
That one was not out of the issue box. That question. Nope, empty. No, issue box is empty. Yeah.
Are you guys not more surprised at where this happened, though? I mean, I could see. You would think Northwestern would be the place, not, you know, I would think that someplace in the South, maybe, you know.
That's fair. Northwestern generally viewed historically as like an actual place of higher learning. Like people don't go to Northwestern to play football, but they also hired Pat Fitzgerald, who is a football guy, like one of the classic annoying old football type guys. And clearly Clearly that's the culture he created there. So,
and then in retrospect, let's say this happens at this same thing happened in SEC school. Is it same hammer coming down on the head coach there?
Yes.
The hammer. Hubba hubba. I mean, the hammer was coming down on the players. So
on the four players
come down on the coach.
I think maybe even more so. I think we look at the South a certain way, but Southern universities are fairly liberal, like politically. And so
but football still trumps that.
Yeah. It does and it doesn't. So is the question you're asking, like, if Nick Saban did this, would he get fired?
Essentially, yeah, but I don't think it would have gotten
out. Fuck no. He's won 6 titles at Bama. Fuck no. No.
Pat
Fitzgerald has gone 3-10, made the Big 12 champion or the Big 10 championship in COVID year, like 2-10 and 1-11 in the last 4 years. He's literally won in the last like 4 years. He has 3 of those years. He's won like 6 combined games. It's a little different. Saban's won 6 titles at Alabama.
And yet Michael Schill didn't want to fire him right off the bat.
Yeah, but like I was going to say was, I'm pretty sure this whole thing came about because of the student newspaper there. Like,
it did.
Dug into it.
Yep. And this is
at Alabama. This is 100% getting swept under the rug before it hits the presses, let's say.
But the funniest thing about, because I didn't see this on Friday or Thursday when it came out because I was in Vegas. I barely saw it on Sunday when I heard shit was heating up. Didn't see it on Monday. Saw it on Tuesday, and then by yesterday or Tuesday, whatever, he was fired. That one swept above me. I had to catch up. And it was so fucking funny to me that Northwestern, a school, it's like Syracuse, built on obnoxious, we're the journalism capital of the world. And then all these journalists or graduates from Northwestern either scurried or were like Darren Revell. And they're like, we don't believe him. I don't believe him. I've known Pat Fitzgerald for 30 years. Like, yes, that's your friend. Like,
yeah, what does that say? That says more about you, my guy.
Clouds your judgment, guy. But he's like, it's just one newspaper. You guys pride yourself on journalism. Your students did journalism. You just don't like the journalism. Like, Mike Wilbon didn't say anything. Greeny didn't say anything. All that school loves when these guys hop on. Like, every school does. Like, Neil Everett on SportsCenter, go Ducks. No shit. Ahmad Rashad. But these guys love journalism, and once journalism didn't look good on the guy who's never actually really won anything, but he's been there forever, they're like, nope, not real. Don't believe it. Don't believe it.
Of all people, Darren Revell, too. Like, to talk down on real journalism, Darren Revell, of all people. Like, because the fact that I love this topic, by the way. I love this conversation. Like, because that's what my degree is in. And so the fact that these student journalists were able to talk to the players and former players and get them to open up about this, because this is not something that, you know, having somebody's junk rubbed across you and being humped in a dark room like what happened to these players is not something that they want to talk to people about. Like, I guarantee you that. It's not. Otherwise, they would have come forward a long time ago. And because this is the culture that Fitzgerald had there a long time ago. So the fact that these writers were able to actually get them to talk and then get them to agree for that to actually be on the record is a huge deal. That's fucking journalism, my guys. Like, where's Wilbon? Wilbon's a Northwestern hack. Like, what?
Yeah.
They're so far removed from any real journalism of any kind that they don't even know what it fucking looks like anymore.
Also, I found out the other day that Darren Revell is 45.
Wow.
And if you've ever seen the videos of Darren Revell either suiting up in a Northwestern football uniform, I think playing one-on-one against Kristaps Porzingis, playing at like half speed and running a 20-yard sprint. And these are all like when he was in his late 30s. I would have thought he was in his 50s then.
That's what I thought. That's what I would have said.
Have you seen the videos I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
He runs like this and his knees are straight the entire time. It's insane. And his, I don't even get, congrats on Revell. He's made generational money. I don't even know what he fucking does. You'll check his Twitter and it's like, oh, Southern B and Sachs sold a Babe Ruth baseball for $9,022 in Missouri. What? How is that news?
Does he write like an article? Does he write an article for the Ringer every like 6 months?
No, he works for like.
No.
Is he like CNBC? Oh, now he's worked for so many places. Now I can't quite keep it up. But I'm like, how is this guy making millions of dollars a year to be like, oh, this Shaq McDonald's card sold for $400. In 1997, it was worth $1,100. How is that news? Who cares? Yeah, I know there's an audience for it, but it's wild. I don't get his.
He's sports Twitter BuzzFeed. People like love looking at that shit for some reason.
Everyone loves a crush on him. I get why Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless make $10 million a year. I get it. Don't have to like what they do. I see the path. I don't see the path to Revell. I don't understand it. Never will. It's very bizarre to me.
He is the equivalent of the YouTube channels where guys like unbox Pokemon cards or trading cards and have, 2 million followers.
Right. It's super niche. I get it. It's just very bizarre to me. I just won't ever understand it.
Yeah, it's like millions of people follow this guy, but I don't know any of them. You know, is this like a Kevin Bacon thing? Like 6 degrees is Kevin Bacon or something? I got to know somebody who knows somebody. It's weird. All right, let's do our list. How about that?
All right.
Our list came from our Discord. By the way, join the Discord. Search for Sports Brewery in Discord. Join it. We talk about stuff in there. Our list came from Booble, and it is top three most overrated baseball players of all time. And the one he shared that is his, which, not to spoil it, because I'm sure he's going to give that in the chat here coming up, is Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, which
shout out to Charles and Phoenix.
A bit of a reach going with old Tony.
My top Tony Gwynn moment, and I'm sure I've said this on here, was visiting my grandparents in Southern California, and he was on every Denny's placard selling rice pilaf.
Rice pilaf at Denny's. Oh,
Tony
no.
Gwynn loved rice pilaf, baby, in the 90s.
He loved rice pilaf, he loved his dip, and he loved fucking getting base hits. That's what Tony Gwynn does.
All right, I'll start it off.
All right, do it.
My number three most overrated baseball player of all time, Babe Ruth. It's not just because he only played against exclusively white players. It's because people make it sound like he pitched and hit at the same time. He did not. He pitched for the Red Sox, was a hitter with the Yankees. Overrated. Loser. Babe Ruth, you're a loser.
Not just exclusively white guys, but like really unathletic white guys.
Yeah. He literally played with like plumbers and guys that made horseshoes in the offseason. Like they were in stables pounding out horseshoes for supplemental income.
Speaking of guys who could not run, Babe Ruth could not run. Like you've seen the home run trot like videos. The guy, there's an argument to be made. He was not an athlete. He was unathletic.
There's also an argument to be made that he was black. But that's a rabbit hole people can go down on their own volition. It's out there.
I don't know if I've seen.
Keep your third eye open, guys. He may have segregated the sport before Jackie Robinson. That's all I'm saying.
I might have to go delve into this because
Have you never looked it down before?
I have not gone.
Oh, Babe Ruth. Type in Babe Ruth is black. Have fun. It's a thing.
We might have a new conspiracy theory that is our favorite. Mine still remains that Stevie Wonder can see. But watch the videos. Yeah.
Ebony and Ivory.
Just watch them. Yeah. I love that.
Salt and pepper.
I love
BB and me.
Babe Ruth is black.
I'm definitely going to deep dive this.
Speaking of Elvis,
good.
Man.
It's fun. It's fun.
Oh, let's go. All right, you want to go?
I'll go. I'm going to throw... I really wanted to get him in there, but I couldn't. So I'm an honorable mention, Captain Jeter. Yep. Not because he's bad. I think he's over... If he didn't have the gajillion titles, he's a fine player. You know, he gets in the Hall of Fame still.
Yeah.
He's not the Yankee legend all Yankee fans
is. He the Hall of Very Good, Derek Jeter?
Yeah, I mean, he was a fucking slap hitter. I mean, he got 3,000 hits, but...
I mean, I'll just say it. Derek Jeter is my number one all-time overrated baseball player.
He
played in Milwaukee, he's Robin Yount.
Yeah.
He's Paul Molitor.
Wade Boggs.
Hall of Famer, but... Nope, don't care. He's El Capitan! Mr. November!
I almost had Wade Boggs on my list. They're very similar players.
Yeah, but Wade Boggs drank 50 beers from Boston to Seattle. And
I think it was like 70 beers.
Fried chicken, yeah. So.
70 beers.
Yeah. But so my number three is Harold Baines. The guy's a Hall of Famer. He played 30 years. I think 1 year he led the league in a category. That's it. He played long enough to hit the milestones.
Yep.
So shit. Ski just took my list. My number two, I know, Froggy, you got to go, but I'm just getting out of the way. My number two overrated baseball player of all time, Harold Baines. Got in, you know, 20 years after he retired by like the fourth level of electors. 289 career hitter, 384 seasons, 384 home runs in 22 and a half seasons.
Yeah.
How the fuck is he in the Hall of Fame?
He averaged like 110 hits a year that got him three. It's
brutal.
It's embarrassing. Yeah.
Terrible.
All right. My number three is kind of like a theme with this whole list, and it's two teams that are kind of a theme with this whole list. Red Sox and Yankees. It is a combination of Jorge Posada and Jason Varitek. Those guys were not good.
Hey, Posada couldn't throw out Dave Roberts,
especially Varitek.
Varitek did get with Heidi Watney. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
He what?
All I'm saying.
He what?
He got with Heidi Watney.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a deep Nesson cut.
Yes.
No and idea. Captain Varitek.
Captain Varitek, he was a switch hitter. His swing from the left side of the plate was him swinging from the left side of the plate looked like he was reverse gripping hand jobs. That's how bad it was. He was, I don't know why he was a switch hitter. I could swing better lefty than he can.
you guys gotta get on the Twitch stream, man. You gotta watch us. Twitch.tv/abrog87. You're missing everything. Varitek, for a career, 256 hitter.
He's not a good hitter.
Grinder.
He was a fine defensive catcher.
Captain.
700 RBIs in 15 seasons.
Table setter.
Get out of here. Trash. Trash.
Knew what he was doing.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started
on Posada.
They're not in the Hall of Fame, though. So at least, you know, they are where they're at.
Fair.
They were good cause to championship teams. That's their cap.
All right, number three is from the chat. From Booble and WCP. Derek Jeter for both of them. All right, what's your two, Ski?
So my two is not a player specific, but is any player that played from, let's say, the mid-90s to the early mid-2000s Rocky players.
Ooh.
So Larry Walker.
Larry Walker. Dante Bichette.
The most inflated Vinny numbers. Vinny Castillo. Ellis Burks.
These guys at the end.
Yeah. These guys increase, you know, the biggest inflated stats you can have playing in that Coors Field there. So get him out of here.
I like that.
All overrated.
I like that a lot.
I love those guys, but
they're not that good. No.
You don't like the Blake Street Bombers, as they called them back in the day?
I did. but they weren't that good. If they were at any other ballpark, they hit 25 bombs a year max.
Have you seen Larry Walker's Fu Manchu?
Yes, and he's fantastic. I love Larry Walker. I said, I love him.
Have you ever played MLB All-Star 99 on N64?
Hit all the big dongs with those guys at Coors Field.
Slapping dongs.
Slapping all the dongs.
You know when you loved them is when they were Montreal Expos. That's when you loved them.
No. It is funny how many of them were Expos.
They were.
All those guys you mentioned were Expos.
They were.
Yeah. Okay, my number two is Daryl Strawberry.
Ooh, he was so good.
No, he wasn't.
I never watched him play, but he did cocaine.
Yeah.
And I had a really cool poster of him and Eric Davis holding rifles. Oh, yes. Dodgers. And they're holding AKs.
I brought it up. There was a big theme of like the early 90s posters where a lot of them were gun-related. Mattingly, Eric Davis. Yeah.
Always gun-related.
Yeah.
They're all trying to be mobsters, and they have like Tommy
guns. They really were.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Don Mattingly was in like a pinstripe like gangster suit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Daryl Strawberry, career 259 hitter, never had more than 39 home runs in a season. 100 plus RBIs three times in his career.
I would not say Strawberry is overrated. I would say.
17
years. He just fucked a career over.
He played 17 years. Did you know that?
It's a long time.
I would have guessed he played like 8 or 9 seasons. But he actually had a long career.
Yeah, you got to see how many games he might have missed for being like rehab or
absolutely
getting in trouble off. So,
oh my God.
People don't remember the Dodger years.
He was on a poster with Brett Butler.
How do those guys
Brett Butler on a poster? Together?
What do they have anything in common of?
They were triple threats. That's what the poster says.
Brett Butler?
What was Brett Butler a single threat of?
Yeah, what?
Stealing bases? Bunting? I don't know.
Fielding grounders? I mean, what are
that
these
is
threats?
That is a good poster.
He had a
strawberry on top of the Hollywood legit, sign. That's
he
great.
Had a legit swing and leg kick.
Yeah.
So,
you guys remember when Strawberry was exiled because of cocaine and came back with the St. Paul Saints in the Independent League? It was just dropping bombs.
Oh yeah.
And then I think the Yanks signed him, or maybe it was the Giants. I think it was the Giants, and then he went to the Yanks. But yeah, he played for the St. Paul Saints for like 6 weeks and just dropped dick because it's the St. Paul Saints.
Yeah.
That's got to be wild being famous for cocaine.
Him and Doc.
Yeah, that's what they're known for.
At least Straw is off it. Doc is still.
Yeah.
Not in
unfortunately,
good shape.
Not in good shape.
All right. Let's see. Twos from the chat. From Booble, Don Mattingly. From WCP, Mariano Rivera?
No.
You can't pick Rivera. He's got a saves record.
I mean, Eric Gagne was probably better, but, you know.
Rivera, he threw one pitch pretty much and got everyone out.
But it was a really good one.
I thought you were doing that as that's why he's overrated. Because he threw a change.
He threw one pitch. It was a cutter.
The cutter.
That's all he threw. Just 98% was just cutter.
No,
you want that cutter on your hands? You don't want that cutter on your hands?
No, you don't.
That's the point. That's why he's the best closer ever. Yeah.
You don't want, you know, Qatar has blood on their hands, and you don't want that. You don't want that Rivera cutter on your hands. You know, it's just
Rivera's cutter was so good he made Roy Halladay a Cy Young pitcher. That's how good his cutter was. He taught Roy Halladay to throw his cutter, and he won Cy Youngs, and then he died. End of story.
On meth, flying a plane over the ocean.
Was he on meth?
Some sort of amphetamines.
I didn't know that.
Some kind.
I did not.
He could have found some old greenies at a ballpark.
Yeah, I don't mean to make light of it. His story at the end is actually incredibly sad.
I didn't know that.
Depression
part
and
wow.
Depression and couldn't remember stuff and
oh man,
yeah,
no good. Let's see. So we're to number ones. Is it you or me, Ski?
I think it's me. Since King's number one was a Yankee, my number one is also a Yankee, and that is Roger Maris.
That is also my number one.
If Roger Maris does not hit 61 home runs in a season, nobody knows who the fuck he is to this day.
Sounds like Aaron Judge, am I right?
I mean, it could be here. We'll see how.
Stay tuned.
You break your toe and you miss
the
rest of the season.
They're missing the playoffs this year.
Well, apparently they're the front runners to get Ohtani right now.
No, they're not. Ohtani is not going to the East Coast. Get out of here. It's not happening.
Just for this season in a trade. Yeah. Not signing next season, but yes, this season.
Roger Maris, 260 career hitter.
Great average these days.
Six out of the 61 home runs for his career, he hit 275. That's not good. That's not a good baseball player. It's not.
It's an okay player, but it's not. We should not know who the fuck he is still anymore.
There should not be movies made about him.
Nope. Fucking Billy Crystal just ruining us with these terrible baseball movies.
Isn't Billy Crystal a Mets fan?
He's a baseball guy in these holes.
He's a Mets fan. Famously, Legend of Curly's Gold.
From
Come
City Slickers,
on.
Famously. Yeah.
I love looking at this list of guys who have hit more homers than Roger Maris.
I'm sure there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Ron Gant at 320.
Love Ron Gant.
Jay Bruce, 319.
Go Reds.
Oh my God. This is hilarious.
Jay Bruce hit more than 300. I love that. It's a good stat.
Reggie Smith, 314. Raul Abanez, 305.
Right. By the way, number one, while you're getting those, number ones from the chat, Booble said, obviously, Anthony Keith Gwynn Sr., and then WCP said Babe Ruth. Probably the most overrated.
Josh Donaldson has more career home runs than Roger Maris.
I cannot get behind the Tony Gwynn thing.
I can't.
He's really a career, like, 340 hitter with, like,
Pat
nine.
Burrell, 292. Rusty Staub, 292 career home runs. Fun list.
Good list.
That's great. Got any more for us before we bounce out of here?
Oh, we can bounce out. Okay, Garrett Anderson, 287.
That's it.
It feels like a real slap hitter, Garrett Anderson.
Garrett Anderson.
It was a double guy, I always thought.
Also, Frank Thomas only had 286.
Really?
That seems wild. Well, no.
That's wrong.
This is, yeah, for a white Frank Thomas.
There you go.
My bad.
A different Frank Thomas. I was like, he had
Ryan Zimmerman, more home runs than Roger Maris.
Tell me BJ Surhoff's on there.
I don't think so. I think you're getting a little...
Fuck.
Good job. Good effort.
Dante Bichette, only one home run behind Roger Maris.
Oh.
And Jorge Posada. Jorge Posada has as many career home runs as Roger Maris. 275.
Make a movie about him.
Ryan Klesko has more career home runs than Roger Maris.
Well, that's a given.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, okay.
All right, guys. Movie on Sunday. Rocky IV. It's on Netflix.
Eric Lee.
Watch it. Listen to us talk about it on Sunday.
Tino Martinez.
Which Martinez?
Tino.
Tino Martinez!
Yogi Berra has almost 100 more career home runs than Roger Maris. Yogi Berra, Roger Maris, loser.
And that is your takeaway from this week's episode of the podcast. Roger Maris, loser.
Mike Trout, only 368. Kind of surprising.
What a bum.
Babe Ruth Black. That's the other thing. Yeah,
Ruth Black. Yep.
Aramis Ramirez, over 100 more career home runs than Roger Maris.
Roger Maris, overrated. Babe Ruth Black. See you next week.